Chapter 8. Aeolith, Continuous.
There's a ship approaching, said Mu.
Bronzy called the company to halt and looked up into the saturated cloud cover. He couldn't see anything. There's no drop dew, he said, and we haven't been notified of air support. I can't see anything.
It's there, she insisted, staring up into the sky.
Her sept had caught its approach. A dot appeared out of the clouds and swooped down across the Block Valley, trailing vapour. It was a Jackal gunship. What does he want, I wonder? Asked Che. The gunship made two passes over the Joker's position and then banked in and hovered down to settle on the flattest patch of rock in the immediate vicinity. As soon as its claws bit into the ground, figures dismounted from the side hatch and ran towards the waiting Geno company.
Lucifer Black's, Mu murmured uneasily.
Bronzy felt a shudder of panic. No, no, he whispered. The three companions, armed and armoured, covered the ground sure-footedly and reached the Jokers. They came to a halt in a row, apparently oblivious to the surly glares of suspicion that they were getting from hundreds of big genic soldiers.
Hetman Bronzy, said the lead companion. Identify Hetman Bronzy.
A murmur ran through the company. Bronzy realised that he was trembling. There was absolutely no way he could run or hide from this. He did the only thing he could.
That's me,
he called, walking out of the huddled troops to face the Lucifers. One of them immediately stepped forwards and disarmed him. Bronzy didn't fight.
What the fuck do you think you're doing? Che exclaimed.
Hetman Bronzy, the lead companion announced. You are detained by order of the Lord Commander. You will come with us.
The Jokers started to yell and protest, spilling forwards out of their lines in outrage.
Keep your places, Bronzy yelled. That's an order. Keep your places. This is just a misunderstanding, and we'll get it cleared up.
You will come with us now, the lead companion demanded.
No,
Honan Mu snapped, striding out to stand beside Bronzy.
I can't allow this. You cannot remove my hetman during an operation.
Your objection is noted, Axor, said the companion. But it is overruled. Step back.
This is a disgrace, Mu yelled. How dare you?
Step back, Axor, the companion repeated.
Don't provoke them, Honan,
Bronzy told her gently.
I'll get this sorted out and be back as quickly as I can.
What is this about, Hurtado? She asked, horrified.
I don't know.
Bronzy, what have you done, you silly old dog? She pleaded.
Nothing, he insisted. I've done nothing.
He clasped her hands in his and looked down into her eyes.
I'll come back, Honan. Look after my jokers for me, all right?
Hurtado.
He bent and kissed her cheek, and then let go of her hands and allowed the companions to walk him back to the gunship. He never looked back. As she watched him walk away, Honan Mu had the most profound feeling that she'd never see him again.
This is not how it should be, Grammaticus roared. Be quiet, said Alpharius.
No,
Grammaticus spat, turning to face the Primarch.
This is exactly the sort of confrontational duress I was trying to avoid. This is no way to deal with a cabal. You cannot turn your guns on them and force them to...
I can do anything I want, said Alpharius. And what I want is to be in control of this situation. Your cabal has persistently and covertly schemed to manipulate the Alpha Legion. That is no basis for trust. I'll hear them out, but I will not let them use my legion or lead it into a trap.
It's not a trap, Grammaticus wailed.
Not any more, it isn't, Omegon agreed.
Grammaticus put his head in his hands and backed away. He looked up and saw Sonica and Roxana.
You used me, he sighed in disbelief. No more than you thought you were using me, John, Sonica replied, and you did try very hard to do that. But, Grammatica said, that is what my lord wanted, and this is what I delivered for him, said Sonica. He wanted to see where you would go, given the chance.
And you too?
Grammaticus murmured, looking at Roxana.
It was all a sham?
She opened the throat of her protective gear and revealed the pendant hanging there.
Psionic scrambler, Conic, she said. It made my mind seem as if it were out of joint. Oh, Roxana, why? He begged.
Playfully, she continued to unbutton her suit and pulled the seam aside to show half of her right breast. The Hydra brand appeared like a beauty spot on her pale skin. Grammaticus looked away and sank to his knees.
Who speaks for the Cabal? Alfarius asked, advancing across the platform towards them.
They will all speak through me, clicked Galatro. Lord Alfarius, our agent is correct. This is no way to conduct business. The Cabal deplores your aggression.
But they want to talk to me, so they better get used to the situation and begin, Alfarius replied. I have limited patience. What is so important that you'd go to such lengths to draw me here?
The Cabal's interpolator did not reply. Behind him, in low, odd tones, the Cabal members consulted one another.
Stay sharp, Peck said to Shear, his bolt gun trained on the aliens. Any sign of trickery?
Shear nodded.
There is psychic activity, but it is purely communicative. None of it is active.
Let me know if that changes, said Peck.
The buzzing, mumbling stir of alien voices ceased. Galatro looked up at Alfarius.
The Cabal will speak, though it resents the position you have placed it in, it said. It is typical of human zeal and belligerence.
Begin, said Alfarius.
The Cabal will deal directly with the Primarch of the Astartes Alpha Legion, Galatro stated.
You are, said Alfarius.
With the entire Primarch,
said the insectoid.
Alfarius paused. You are, he repeated.
A show of trust is perhaps in order on your part, seeing that you hold us at gunpoint, said Galatro. A token to signify that true secrets can be shared between us.
Alfarius glowered for a moment and then nodded. Omegon, in his gleaming blue-black infiltrator armor, walked slowly over to stand at Alfarius's side. Sonica and Roxana exchanged brief glances of confusion. Grammaticus looked up, fascinated.
Cut off one head, and two shall grow in its place, said Galatro. Alone amongst the genic sons of the Terran Emperor, you are the only twins. You are both the Primarch, one soul in two vessels.
The fact is not known outside our legion, said Omegon. It is our most closely guarded secret, said Alfarius. How did you know? Asked Omegon.
The insectoid's mouthparts twitched.
Through a careful study and comparison of the known Primarchs that has lasted for decades, it became clear to us that the oldest and the youngest sons were the most significant of all. Horus for what he will do, and you for what you will undo.
What will Horus do? Asked Alfarius.
He will let the galaxy burn, said Galatro. He will ignite the civil war.
You speak heresy, Omegon growled.
Exactly so,
the interpolator replied. Alfarius shook his head.
This is futile. Like your agent before you, you speak of a coming war and a great doom. You describe a division that could not possibly happen. Horus Lupercal is Warmaster. He is the Emperor's right hand and the most loyal of all. What he does for the Emperor.
I believe you intend to sow the seeds of dissent with these wild tales, Omegon told the interpolator. You wish to undermine the foundations of the Imperium.
They are not wild tales, said Galatru.
They are baseless and offensive to us, Omegon snapped. You supply no specifics. You deal in vague pronouncements.
It has been far seen, said Galatru.
Again with this, Alfarius laughed. Some vision, some shamanic dream, a worthless prophecy, a hollow auguring. It all means nothing. You cannot know the future, and therefore you cannot show us any proof.
Yes, we can, said Galatro. If that is what you need, we will share the acuity with you.
How exactly is that done? Asked Omegon warily.
It cannot be accomplished here, said Galatru. We must first bring our vessel to the halting site and transfer to it with you. As a matter of trust, we will allow you to escort us under guard. We need you to know, Alfarius Omegon. We need you to see.
Do it, said Alfarius and Omegon simultaneously.